Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Tonight and today, this morning, we were trying to reach Dr. Suleiman Lukingo. He was calling us from Kenya and wanted to bring a word today. And so we are waiting on him to come into the studio. And during that time, we will play music and wait for his arrival.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Say no weapon.
There just ain't one.
There just ain't one.
There just ain't one.
There just ain't one.
Although they've said I nailed a trap, I want you to know it won't work. Ooh, no, no, no.
There just
ain't one.
There just ain't one. Thank you.
We will now have a text from Luke, 24th chapter. We'll now have a text from Luke, the 24th chapter, the 13th through the 35th verses. Again, that'll be Luke, the 24th chapter, 13th to the 35th verse. And we'll be reading from the New Living Translation. The scripture reads, "That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?' And they stopped short. Sadness was written across their faces. And then one of them said, 'Cleopas,' replied, 'you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all these things that have happened the last few days.' 'What things?' Jesus said. 'The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth,' they said. 'He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. And some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?' And then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning him. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, 'Stay the night with us since it's getting late.' So he went home with them. And as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has risen. He appeared to Peter." Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. We'll now talk about the road, the Emmaus Road, the road less traveled. And the road that's traveled by M. Scott Peck. It is, in short, a description of the attributes that make for a fulfilled human being based largely on his experiences as a psychiatrist and as a person. Author Peck's famous opening line, "Life is difficult," becomes the backdrop to explore suffering as an opportunity to grow rather than avoid. Peck begins with the profound truth that life is difficult. And as people of faith, we too must attest to the fact that life was never meant to be easy and that it is nothing but a battlefield of problems. We can either moan about them or solve them. The Christian faith has been likened to a road less traveled because the Christian faith is a journey. And today I want to suggest to you that the fact that Jesus is alive means that we journey with him every day. So let us consider a story in Luke's gospel in which two ordinary men were on a journey on the road to Emmaus, a road of destiny. And one of them is named Cleopas, and the other isn't even named. They never show up in any of the other New Testament stories. They were just not prominent in the life of the early church. They were just like us, two people with ordinary hearts and ordinary hopes. These two travelers were heading home from Jerusalem. They told a traveling stranger why they were deflated by all that had happened. They had hoped that Jesus, the prophet, the teacher and inspired leader, a spokesman from God, would redeem Israel. But he couldn't survive the onslaught of his wicked enemies, and their hopes were dashed. They had hoped, in short, that Jesus would fix things, liberate them from the Roman yoke of oppression, put down the corrupt priests everywhere around them, and replace the legalistic religious establishment with people who love God more than their positions. These two travelers on the road to Emmaus had hoped that justice would prevail. Now, how many of us have ended up sad, standing still with our face down because we had hoped God would do things that God didn't do? How many of us have hoped that God would throw out the wicked from high places, put just and righteous people in positions of power in the government, and deal with the sadness and despair of the poor and the outcast? How many of us have hoped God would fix things in our own life? Why didn't he get me out of my dead-end job? Why doesn't he take away family problems? I read the Bible. I have friends who are Christians, and we walk together along the road of the Christian journey. Yet I don't get a break, and my loved ones don't understand me. My friends turn against me. Why doesn't God make the road travel on the Christian journey easy? You see, that was the problem of these two travelers. The prophet had died and he hadn't fixed things. They had heard the testimony describing an empty tomb, but they didn't yet believe it was true. But their discouragement and hurt would be turned into a discovery of destiny on the Emmaus Road. So this morning, I wish for us to walk this road to Emmaus with these two travelers and truly discover our destiny on the road of our Christian journey. The Emmaus Road is a road of companionship. The first lesson from the text we learn is that the Emmaus Road is a road of companionship. We find that in Luke 24:13-18. Our text speaks of two of the disciples of Jesus, discouraged and frustrated, traveling to Emmaus, their home. And as they walked, they talked of the events of the week. Jesus came alongside of them. For whatever reason, their eyes were restrained from recognizing Jesus, and perhaps they were so preoccupied on their own disappointments and problems. You know, the important part is not that they did not recognize Jesus, but that Jesus recognized them as his own. You see, oftentimes we become preoccupied with our problems and our pain that we don't recognize that God still loves and cares about us. His coming to them and walking alongside of them illustrates the truth that Jesus promises, I am with you always, from Matthew 28:20. You see, the road to Emmaus is a road of companionship. On the road of our Christian journey, Jesus desires to walk with each of us. Jesus is with us even when we do not recognize. Isaiah 43:2-3 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. They shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not burn. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So when we look for Jesus in our midst, we will experience the power of his presence and the comfort of his companionship. Jesus wants to join us in our travels of life on the road of destiny. And when we realize that the Lord is with us, we can walk with one another. Psalms 119:63 says, I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You see, the road to Emmaus is a road of companionship. The risen Lord desires that we walk with him and with one another. But the road to Emmaus is also the second point, a road of conversation. Luke 24:19-24 says, you see, as Jesus joined them, he began to converse with them, asking of the events they talked about. And in asking, he allowed them to tell their deepest hurts, to tell their deepest angers and frustration. They poured out their hearts to Jesus. They said that they were counting on the Messiah to redeem Israel. They had placed all their hope in the Jesus of Nazareth. And when he died, their hopes died with him. They spoke of the resurrection being told of by the women, but it seemed unlikely. They couldn't believe that these two travelers on the road to Emmaus had no idea that they were talking to the one who'd been crucified and raised. They were talking to the one who would turn their joy, sorrow, into joy. Do we know that Jesus desires to converse with us through the means of prayer? Like these two disciples, we can tell him whatever's on our hearts and minds because he wants to listen and talk with us. You see, on the road, our Christian journey, Jesus is the greatest empathic listener. He is able to listen to our hurts and discouragements with the ability to enter into our pain. Psalm 69:16-17 says,
Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me steadily. And 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. In the word of that hymn that is part of our faith tradition, I may have doubts and fears. My eyes may be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You see, the Emmaus Road is one of companionship and conversation with God and prayer. Also, the other lesson in this text we find is that the road to Emmaus is a road of challenge. In Luke 24:25-27. You see, we might expect Jesus to say to these two disciples, I understand. But he says, oh, foolish one and slow of heart to believe. Now, his words were not to harm or insult, but to challenge their belief. Their belief in what? The scriptures. They should have known the biblical prophecy of the Messiah, but they could not understand why God did not intervene to save Jesus from the cross. And they were caught up in the political powers at hand and failing to understand the true work of the Messiah. Or they were caught up in the world's admiration of political power and military might, that they were unprepared for the reversal of values in God's kingdom, that the last will be first. Joy, you see, comes out of suffering, and that life grows out of death. They failed to understand that Christ's suffering was his path to glory. They could not understand why God did not intervene to save Jesus from the cross. So Jesus then explained everything written about himself in the scriptures, beginning with the law of Moses and the book of the prophets. You know, and I'm sure Jesus challenged them with the passage found in Isaiah 53:5 that says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. You see, on the road of our destiny, Jesus will challenge our beliefs. Belief is the key that unlocks the heart of God, and we cannot live without faith. The two travelers on the Emmaus Road were foolish, for they were not believing the prophets. After the two disciples explained their sadness and confusion, Jesus responded by going to Scripture and applying it to his ministry. Would Jesus say that to us today? How slow are we to believe? See, we know the truth that he's risen and one day will return to the earth, but do we believe? Do we live like we believe? Come on, somebody. When we are puzzled by questions or problems, we can turn to the light of Scripture. The Scripture communicates the spiritual truths that we need to know, and Jesus challenges us to believe and to live out that belief. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus challenged the disciples to believe. For Jesus said in John 8:24, therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. The road, Emmaus Road, is one of companionship. It's one of conversation and the challenge to believe. And finally, the Emmaus Road, the last lesson in the text, is a road of celebration. For Luke 24:28-35 talks about this. As they journeyed near an inn, the two men, now inspired and encouraged, invited Jesus to stop at their home, and they still had not recognized him. Supper time came, and Jesus took the bread and broke it, and all of a sudden, they recognized him. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. But it wasn't until they sat down at a table face to face that Jesus became known. But when they were focused on one another through companionship, conversation, and challenge, instead of their paralyzing personal pain, they realized the presence of Jesus. And for a brief moment during their meal, Jesus was with them. Then in an instant, he was gone. That environment of companionship, conversation, and challenge created the opportunity for the presence of God to be known. And after their meal together, the travelers on the road to Emmaus then remembered how their hearts burned when Jesus was with them. Luke 24:32 says, "And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Their lives prior to this moment were like a cold, dark, depressing day. But once they came into the presence of the risen Lord, their hearts were burning and bright. A burning fire, you see, gives light for all to see. And they saw, understood, and believed in all because of the risen Lord. Jesus' victory became their celebration of hope. It became the anchor of their lives. And as Hebrews 6:19 says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Oh, with a great celebration of hope. Come on, y'all. They ran back to Jerusalem. The long discouraged walk to Emmaus now became a joyous run to Jerusalem with renewed strength. It had taken them until late in the day to walk the 7 miles to Emmaus, but they were so excited when they realized not only who had spoken to them, but what he had said. They got up and ran the 7 miles back to Jerusalem that same night. They couldn't contain themselves. They had to tell somebody what had happened before. They were disappointed and discouraged, but now, hallelujah, they understood and experienced for themselves the truth and power of God's word in Isaiah 40:31. But those, hallelujah, that wait on the Lord, come on somebody, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. When arriving back in Jerusalem, they found the 11 together, and with great celebration in their renewed and celebrated hope, they proclaimed the good news. The Lord is risen. Hallelujah. The Emmaus Road is a great road of companionship. The Emmaus Road is a road of conversation. The Emmaus Road is a road of challenge and celebration. The road we travel in our Christian journey is the same. So where is our belief? Where is our hope? The world is waiting to hear from those disciples who are burning within their hearts the message of Easter. He is risen. And once we truly know Jesus as a risen Lord, there's no sitting still. Oh, once we know Jesus, there's no sitting still for hate and cruelty, no sitting still for sin and suffering, no sitting still for injustice and oppression, no sitting still so that we may go with him to open the hearts and the minds of others gripped in sorrow, lost in hate, paralyzed by fear. We are to tell the world that he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my burning heart. But when there is burning in our hearts of the good news of Jesus Christ, there will be witnessing in our walk, testifying of God's goodness in our talk, loving in our life, and joy in our journey. God is inviting us to walk the Emmaus Road. It was a walk which began in confusion and despair, but which ended hearts ablaze with the knowledge and love of the risen Lord Jesus. The Emmaus Road is a great road of companionship, a great road of conversation, challenge, and celebration. It is our road of destiny. We are called to walk it with Jesus. Friends, you may have come in here this morning with a heart that is downcast, despairing, and disappointed. Your dreams and hopes may have been shattered. On whatever road you are now walking, Christ comes to restore your hope, to renew your strength, and to lift your soul. He comes and reveals himself to you through the word of God. He comes, and this morning he awaits your response. He has walked alone the road with you, maybe for a long period of time. And today he has touched your heart, burned your soul, and he has revealed who he is to you. He waits for your invitation to invite him in. Oh, Revelation 3:20. God is so good. But let me tell you, the response is yours. You too can have that same knowledge and love ablaze in your heart today. It matters not who you are or how bad you are. Just come on in. This morning, there are some of you in here that in Christ has been walking with you for a long time. And gently, over the past number of weeks and months, he's been opening your eyes to who he is, how much he loves you, and what he's done for you. This morning, he has revealed himself to you. And now you must decide. Are you going to invite him in, or are you going to walk on without him? With him, there is hope. With him, there's new life, eternal life. With him, there's salvation. Without him, there's no hope. Without him, there is only death and a lost eternity. What you gonna do?
Amen. We thank June Rochelle. God is so good, and you got to know that he's watching over you. As you walk along life's journey, God is with you. He promises never to leave you nor forsake you. So if you truly believe that God has risen from the dead, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again for you, and that you will be lifted up with him to eternity because of your faith. Grave will have no victory. Death will have no control, no victory. The grave and death will have no victory esteem. Praise God. For those of you who confess that you have a relationship with God or would like to have one, we just ask that you remember that that's all that's required, and that you join a biblical church that teaches the word of God, and you get in and study and be baptized, and continue to join us here at Love Connection, your place of preaching and teaching the word of God. God's blessings be with you. Feel free to call back in on Tuesdays at 646-478-4932.